Okay, a good moed. Laila Tov, everyone. Let's, Bezus Hashem, finish Shas together. Tonight's learning is Ila Nishmas Avimor of David Sibin Ari Yosef. It's also, let's see if I can get all the names here. It's also Ila Nishmas Nechemya Ben Chana Esther. It's also in the merit of a Refuah Shlema for Yisrael Ben Chana. It's also yes, that's what it is. We're going to attempt to learn two daf tonight. We are on Lamed Hey, Amid Aleph. It's also the initials Aaron Raphael Ben Yehuda Lev. And it's also Eli Nishmas Mordechai David ben Shmuel Chaim. We are holding at the top of Lamed Hey Amid Aleph. Welcome back, Dr. Joe. Sorry about your father's passing. Hopefully, the learning that we do should be in Aliyas Neshama for your father's neshama. We are up to Lamed Hey Amid Aleph. We are about 10 lines down. Abaye Chazia, that's what we're up to. By the two dots, about 13 lines down. Says the Gemara, Abaye Chazia l'Rava d'Kadavi l'Marav. So we're going to be speaking a lot on Daf Lamed Hey about Bein Hashmashos. It's a big topic. Bein Hashmashos, and then Lamed Vav will finish off the discussion Bein Hashmashos, and we'll begin the topic of heating up food on Erev Shabbos. There's so much to talk about, and so little time. Says the Gemara, Abaye Chazia l'Rava d'Kadavi l'Marav. Abaye saw Rava that he was looking up at the western sky. Amar lei v'atanya kol zman shepnei mizrach ma'adimin. I thought the definition of when darkness is, you look at when the eastern sky is still red. Amalei misavris pnei mizrach mamish, lo panim hamadimin es hamizrach. It doesn't mean pnei mizrach. It means the western side is a light which causes the light to reflect onto the eastern side, and therefore he has to look at the west. Ikadame ravachaz labaye de kadavi lemizrach. Some had the story the other way around. He was looking up at the east. Amalei misavris pnei mizrach mamish, lo panim hamadimin es hamizrach. It doesn't mean the east, it means the west, because the sun sets in the west, gentlemen. We remember that. The sun sets in the west. So what's he looking at the east for? No. It means if it's still a light in the west which reflects onto the east. That's what it means. V'simanayich kavsa. This is like a window. Because when sun shines in the window on one side of the house, it reflects onto the other side of the house. So too over here. When the sun sets in the west, you measure it by how much it's still reflected in the east. Fine, let's continue. Rabbi Nechemya Omer, Kadesh Yahalach Adam Yishatishka Chama Chatzi Mil. Rabbi Nechemya said that how long is Bein Hashmashos? From Shkia, a half a meal. We'll say approximately 9 minutes. Amar Rabbi Chanina, Harotza Leida Shiosh Rabbi Nechemya. If you want to know this Shiosh Rabbi Nechemya, so when you're standing at the top of the Carmel Mountains, Yaniach Chama Barosh HaCarmel, so you should be up on top of the mountains as the sun is setting. And when you see the sun disappear, V'yered V'yitbol Bayom V'yala, go down and dip in the Mediterranean, and then come back up. V'zeo Shiro Sh'Rabbi Nechemya. That's the amount of time the Rabbi Nechemya says is his Bein Hashmashos, between Shkia and that time. Amar Rabbi Chiya, Harotz Liros Be'era Shel Miriam. While we're on the topic of interesting things to see at Har HaKarmel, so if you want to see the Be'er of Miriam that led Klal Yisrael in the desert, so Yala L'Rosh HaKarmel, go up to the top of Mount Carmel, V'yitzpe, look into the Mediterranean, V'yira Kemin Kvara Bayam, you will see a sort of bowl in the middle of the ocean, in the middle of the yam, of the sea. Vizuhi Be'er Shel Miriam. That is the Be'er of Miriam. I've never seen it. Amarav, Mayan Hamitaltel, tohar, v'zehu be'era shel Miriam. Rav says, if you have a walking, moving bore, like if you have a natural spring that miraculously goes along with you, like the Be'er of Miriam, so its water is not considered to be Mayim She'uvim, even though you think it's like a pool, right? You take it with you. No, no, no. This was a miraculous underground spring that wherever they went, it went with them. So it's Tahar. V'zeo Be'er Shem Miriam. So the Mefarshim say there's two halachas being taught over here. Number one, that water itself is not Mekabel Tuma. It's not considered to be a liquid that's Mekabel Tuma because it's a natural wellspring. It's not Mekabel Tuma, it's a mikveh. And number two, you could be Tovel in it. It's considered to have a status of a mikveh. You could be Tovel in it. Amar Yehuda, Amar Shmuel. Bein HaShmashos to Rabbi Yehuda, Kohanim Tovlimbo. So Rabbi Yehuda's name is Shmuel, that during the Bein HaShmashos of Rabbi Yehuda, it's not considered to be Laila yet, and therefore the Kohanim are allowed to dip in the mikvah during that time, even though they got to dip in the mikvah before nightfall. They're allowed to dip in the mikvah during the Bein HaShmashos of Rabbi Yehuda. Says, wait, who's this going according to? Laman. When Shmuel said this halach, who's going according to? Ilema l'Rabbi Yehuda. This can't be according to Rabbi Yehuda himself. If he holds that's Bein HaShmashos, so it's already Suffolk Laila. So how in the world are they allowed to dip in the mikveh at that time? That doesn't make any sense. Ilema l'Rabbi Yehuda Sveikahu. Bein HaShmashos is Suffolk Yom, Suffolk Laila. How's the Kohen allowed to dip in the mikveh during Bein HaShmashos? Ella, what does he mean? Bein HaShmashos to Rabbi Yehuda l'Rabbi Yossi Kohanim Tovlimbo. During the Bein HaShmashos of Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yossi, who says Bein HaShmashos is Keheref Ayin, a moment after Rabbi Yehuda's Bein HaShmashos, so according to Rabbi Yossi, who says Bein HaShmashos doesn't come till later, and the whole Bein HaShmashos of Rabbi Yehuda is actually Vaday Yom, according to Rabbi Yossi, so Kohanim are allowed to go to the mikveh then. Asks the Gemara, Pshita, isn't that obvious? Says Gemara, well, the Chiddush is this. Mao the same Bein HaShmashos to Rabbi Yossi Meshach Shayach with the Rabbi Yehuda. You might think that the Bein HaShmashos of Rabbi Yossi is actually the last moments of Rabbi Yehuda's Bein HaShmashos. Kamashlan, it's not. The Shlim Bein HaShmashos to Rabbi Yehuda, only once Rabbi Yehuda's Bein HaShmashos is completed, then Rabbi Yossi's Bein HaShmashos begins immediately following. That's the Chiddush. V'hoda Maschi Bein HaShmashos to Rabbi Yossi. So, therefore, Rabbi Yehuda's Bein HaShmashos, according to Rabbi Yossi, is Vada Yom. It's not Bein HaShmashos at all, according to Rabbi Yossi. Amar Rachan Rabbi Yochan, Halacha Karabi Yehuda Le'inyin Shabbos. You have to be Machmir like Rabbi Yehuda's Bein HaShmashos as far as Erev Shabbos, which means, right, according to Rabbi Yossi, technically speaking, you could like light Shabbos candles like a bunch of minutes after Shkia. You can't do that. As far as Shabbos is concerned, you got to be Machmir like Rabbi Yehuda, and treat right after Shkia, that's already considered to be Bein HaShmashos, you can no longer light Shabbos candles right after Shkia. V'halacha k'Rabbi Yossi l'inyan Truma. But the halacha is like Rabbi Yossi as far as Truma is concerned. The Gemara is going to explain this in a moment. Says the Gemara, Bishlama halacha k'Rabbi Yehuda l'inyan Shabbos. I understand halacha k'Rabbi Yehuda Shabbos l'chumra. That's a chumra on Erev Shabbos, that you can't light candles. Avalinyan Truma Mahi. What does it mean that the halacha is like Rabbi Yossi as far as Truma? Ilema Litvila. If you want to tell me that has to do with dipping in a mikvah, that's not a chumra. Sveikahu. What do you mean? It's a suffix, like we said before. Ella la'achilas Truma. No, it means they have to wait until after Rabbi Yossi's Bein HaShmashos to eat the Truma. The lo achli kohanim truma after they went to the mikveh by day, that lo achli kohanim truma ad dishalim Bein HaShmashos to Rabbi Yossi. It's not enough for them to wait for the Bein HaShmashos of Rabbi Nechemiah. It's not enough to wait for the Bein HaShmashos of Rabbi Yehuda. They got to wait for the Bein HaShmashos of Rabbi Yossi, and only after that are they allowed to eat the truma. Now we come to the three stars. Now we said before, gentlemen, that there were three shiurim of Bein HaShmashos. One opinion was when half the sky is dark, but the upper half is still light, that's Bein HaShmashos. Only when the whole thing becomes dark, that's Vaday Laila. Now the Gemara is going to talk about stars, and the Mefarshim here say you really need both. You need the whole. You need all the light to be out of the heavens and three stars. We'll see in a moment. Amen Shmuel. Kochav Echad Yom. If you could see one star, it's still day. Shnayim Bein Hashmashos. If you see two stars, it's called Bein Hashmashos. Shlosha Laila. Once you see three stars, that's considered to be night. Tanya Amihachi Kochav Echad Yom. Shnayim Bein Hashmashos. Shlosha Laila. Am Rav Yosi. Lo Kochavim Gedolam Nirim B'Yom. It doesn't mean large stars. Lo Kochavim Ketanim She'en Nirim B'Laila. Ela Beinonim. It means three medium-sized stars. Not large, not small. Medium-sized stars. Am Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Zvida, Ha'osa Malacha, Bishnei, Bein HaShmashos. A person who does Malacha, Bein HaShmashos, Friday night, and Bein HaShmashos, Saturday night, Chayv Chatas Mimanavshach. So he's for sure Chayv Chatas, because one or the other of them is for sure Shabbos. So he definitely brings a carbon chattas. Amalei Rava Lishame Atendil Kim Luchu B'Shiru Adarabanan. You're not a bucky in the time Ben Hashmashos. Adeshim Sha'areish Dikle. When the sun is still above the date palm trees. Aslu Shraga, light candles. Ask the Gemara, B'yom ha'ma'unan mai. Well, what do you do if it's cloudy? And the sun's not there. What's the simon? Says the Gemara, B'masa, if you're in the city, Chazi Tarnagola. That, watch the chickens, because the chickens, they stop laying eggs and they go sit on the beams as the day ends. So when the chicken sits on the beam, that's the time to light candles. Not after that. Bedabra, if you're in the fields, Orve, look at the ravens. When the ravens come in to roost, that's going to be the end of the day. That's when the sun sets. Inami, Adane, is a certain type of plant that follows the sun. Some say it means that the flower of the plant shuts at night. Others say it means the plant literally goes like this and follows the sun where it goes. So you could figure out when it's sunset based on that. Tana Rabbanan, our rabbis taught in a braisa, they used to have a custom in the times of the Gemara and the Mishnayos, just like nowadays in Israel, you have the siren. You have the first siren Erev Shabbos that tells you when it's going to be Shabbos. Then you have the second siren that says light candles. This is because of what we see in the Gemara. They used to have six shofar blowings on Erev Shabbos to tell the people when to stop working. Tana Rabbanan, Sheish Tekiyos Token Erev Shabbos. You would blow six Tekiyos Erev Shabbos. Rishona Lahavtil Esha'ami Malacha Shabbosados. The first one was to tell people you're working out in the fields, it's time to stop. Shut down in the fields. Shnia Lahavtil Ir V'chanuyos. The second one is the people who worked in the city had to shut down the stores. Shlishis lahadlik esaner. The third one said, now it's time to light candles. Divrei Rabbi Nassan. Rabbi Yudah Anasi Omer, no, shlishis lachlotz tefillin. The third would be to take off your tefillin. And the fourth one, the Rishonim say, the fourth one was to tell you to light candles. Vishohek kedeit sliyas dal katan. And then the guy blowing the shofar would wait the amount of time it would take to roast a small fish, okay, lahadrik pas betanar, or the amount of time it would take to do last-minute Shabbos preparations. V'tokeo meiria v'tokeo, then they would blow trua, tkia, trua, tkia, v'shoves, and that would be the signal that you had to stop all malacha. Amar b'shem gamliel, ma nasa lehem l'bavliyim, shetokenu meirian, Vishovsin mitoch marian. What are you going to say about the Babylonian minug? They used to only blow trua, tkia trua, and they would actually stop after the trua. Says the Gemara, wait a second. Token of marian? Havalu chamisha. What do you mean? They only blew five, not six? He's supposed to blow six. Elano, shetoken vachosin mitoch marian. Vishovsin mitoch marian. No, what they would do is they would blow tekiah trua tekiah, but the second time they blow tekiah trua. And the Rishonim say the reason they did this is because they were afraid if it ended on a tekiah, you wouldn't know whether it's the first tekiah or the third. So they would blow tekiah trua, and then, oh, when you heard the trua, then I knew that that's the one that's going to, that's going to be the one that's going to cause the Shabbos to happen. So what are we going to do? Why do they do it that way? Says the Gemara, Minagav Hasein B'Yadayim. You can't be worried about the way they're going to do it. Now the says the Gemara, Masni Le Rav Yehuda Rav Yitzchak Berei Shnia Lahad LeKasaner. We learned in a Braisa, the second one is to teach you to light the candles. Keman, who's that going like? Lo Rav Nasan, Lo Rav Yehuda Nasi. Answer the Gemara, Ella Shlishis Lahad LeKaner. You had the wrong gear set. Really, the third blowing was to teach you to light candles. Keman Kerabi Nasan. That's going like Rabbi Nasan. We're going to just see a brisa that's a little bit more explanation here. It says Gemara, Tana Devar Rabbi Shmuel, Sheish Tekiyos Token Erev Shabbos. There were six blowings on Erev Shabbos. Hischa L'Skoat Tekiyah Rishona Nimnu Omdu Masada Milador Umilacharosh. When the first Tekiyah was blown, so when you're in the fields, you stopped plowing and weeding. Umilasos komalach shebesados. Now this is such an interesting line. Listen to this, gentlemen. Ve'ena krovin rashan likanes ad sheyavo rechokin likans kol echad. This is so interesting. In the fields, if you worked in a field that was closer to the city, when you heard the first shofar, you were not allowed to go back into the city right away. You had to wait till all the peoples from the far end of the fields came, and then everybody from the fields walked in together. You couldn't go earlier. Why? Because you're going to be motzi laz on the other guys that they waited longer. People won't realize that they just were out long. So you have to wait till those guys come in. Unbelievable how far we go that people shouldn't think that these guys are Mechalei Shabbos. Oh, you're the frum ones. You ended early. You ran into the city early. No, no, no. You're not allowed to do that. If you work in the field, everybody in the field has to wait till the people from far away walked all together so that everybody would know that all the people kept Shabbos and listened to the shofar blowings and stopped at the same time. Unbelievable. You think about it. Amazing. So there shouldn't be choshed, the people who came in last, that they want to chaparai and some extra work before Shabbos. Wow. V'adayin chanulas psuchos u'treis in munachim. But after the first shofar blowing, the stores in the city were allowed to remain open. And the window shades that they used to place their wares on were still there. Hischel is called kiyashnia. When they blew the second shofar blowing, nistalko u'treis in anal anchios. They put away the produce, and they locked up the stores. Vadayin chamin munachin agabi kiro kederos munachas agabi kira. The pots were still on the fire. Now you see why the next parak is going to talk about all the pots. Hischel eskot kia shlishis. When they blew the third tkia, silek hamisalek v'hitman. When it says here tkia, it means the trua in the middle one. The mafarshim say the third one silek hamisalek. You removed all the pots from the fire. V'hitmin hamatmin, and you would do hatmana. You would wrap up those pots that needed to stay hot till tomorrow. V'hidlik mahamadlik, and you would light the Shabbos candles. V'shel k'day tzliyas dalkadon k'day lahad v'pas v'tana. Then you would wait a short amount of time. V'tokeh maria v'tokeh v'shoves tkiya trua tkiya, and then you would rest. Now, there's a very interesting machlokas harishonim. When a woman lights Shabbos candles, is that an automatic Kabbalah Shabbos or not? So the Rishonim have a disagreement here. There's a famous Bahag Shita that once she lights candles, automatically it's Shabbos for the woman. And the Ran proves his words from our Gemara where it says, first you cholitz tefillin, and then you're madlik v'ner. And also the third, also argument which says, the third kiyah, first you remove the food from the fire, and then v'hidlik ha-madlik. So this is in Shulchan Aruch, in Reish Samach Gimel. So it says in Shulchan Aruch, the Shulchan Aruch quotes the dispute. Labaha, this is Reish Samach Gimel Yud. Labaha, kevin jidlik v'ner shel Shabbos, Chal of Shabbos, Vanessa b'malacha, while pizen ahogas k'tzas nashim, shachshe baruch v'dligon eres. That's why the women, when they light candles, they just drop the match. They don't want to extinguish the match because after you lit the candles, it's Shabbos for you. If you would extinguish the match, you'd violate mechabe. You're extinguishing the match. So the Shulchan Aruch says that's why the women don't do that. They don't extinguish the match because once they lit the candles, it's already Shabbos. V'yesh omrim, that if she makes a condition before the hadlaka that she's not being mekabel Shabbos until the chazan says baruchu, the condition works. And some say the condition does not work. And some disagree with the Bahag. And they say, no, Hadlakas Neros is not her acceptance. Rather, it's when the Chazan and Shul says Baruch Hu. I always thought it was when we say Bo'i Kala, Bo'i Kala. That's not what it says in Shulchan Aruch. In Shulchan Aruch it says when the Chazan says Baruch Hu.
Oh. So, I don't know if it's true or not. I heard that Ashkenaz says Hapokbom Friday night has the meaning of saying it because there's no girsa by Ashkenaz of Bo'i Kala Shabbos Malkisa. They don't say that.
Oh, we say Bo'i Kala, we just don't say Shabbos Malkisa, but we say.
Right, so that's not. So, Kabbal Shabbos isn't until after Mizmar Shir by Ashkenaz, but Sfar doesn't do it because they say Bo'i Kala, Bo'i Kala.
Uh huh. So, the very next line says, Shekim and Shamachaz and Baruchu, right. Ulodidan, Kevin Sheschilu Mizmar Shir Yom Shabbos, Havi Kibarchu Lididhu. Yeah, that's what he says in the very next line. Says the Rama, Vaminog Sheosa Isha Madlekis Mikabel Shabbos Bahadlaka. The minog is that a woman whose Madlik is Mikabel Shabbos Imlo Shetisna Tchila Vafil Tanai Belev Sagi. Unless she makes a condition, the Rama says she's allowed to make a condition not to be Mikabel Shabbos. Abel Shabbani Adam. Everybody else is mutter melacha till baruchu. Okay, very interesting. Let's continue. Amar Rabbi Yosi, Rabbi Chanina, Shamati, Shimba lahadlik, Acha sheish tkios madlik. I heard that if she wants to light candles after all six, she's allowed to do it. Because the guy who's blowing shofar has got to bring the shofar back to his house. On my low, they said to him, what are you talking about? In Kain, Nasata Vechli Shu. What do you mean? Depends how far away the guy lived. The guy was blowing shofar from his house. Elamakam Tano Yishal Chazan Kness is Barosh Gago. No. They would hide the shofar in the roof. Right there. Shasham Menech Shofar. Lefisha Ema Tatlin. Oh. Now, why would they not? Why would he not carry it home on Shabbos? Lefisha ein matatlin lois ha-shofar v'lois ha-chatzotzros. You're not allowed to carry a shofar or a chatzotzros because it's mukta. Asks the Gemara, v'atanya, shofar mitaltel v'chatzotzros einon mitaltelin. But we learned that a shofar you are allowed to carry on Shabbos because you could use the shofar to scoop out water to give to your child. You use it like a cup. The chatzotzer is ain't a metadlin, but the chatzotzer is straight. It can't be used for anything. Rav Yosef Lokasha, kan biyachid, kan b'tzibur. An individually owned shofar is good, but if the shofar is owned by the tzibur, the individual would not be allowed to use it. Amalei abayav, yachid l'may chazi, ho v'roi l'gamei abo. Mayim, latinok. B'tzibur nami chazi l'gamei latinok ani. Right, if it's a poor tinok, so then the tzibur is responsible. Vesu ha'desanik shem shematadlin es ha'shofar kach matadlin es ha'chatzotzos money. Who's that going like? So the Gemara says you're right. It's three different opinions. Elo kasha. Ha Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda generally is more machmir when it comes to the dinim of mukta. It's machlokas Rashi toses you how to understand what's going on over here. Basically, it sounds like a shofar would be a klisha malachto le'iser. So people don't know this, but a klisha malachta le'isser is mutter to move l'tzarach gufo l'tzarach makomo. But the machlokas, so let's see in the Gemara. So that's really what we're talking about here. Is a shofar a klisha malachta le'isser or no? Or maybe even if it is a klisha malachta le'isser, maybe Yehuda is going to be machmer. Lo ka'asha. Ha Rabbi Yehuda. With this that we said that a shofar is allowed to be carried and the chatzotzos are not allowed to be carried, that's Rabbi Yehuda. Because he holds there is a din mukta, and therefore the chatzotzros cannot be carried, but a shofar is considered to be a kli because it could be used, and therefore it's a kalisha malachta le'iser that you're allowed to move it. Letzorach gufo, letzorach makomo. Ha Rabbi Shimon, the one that said both are allowed to be carried, Rabbi Shimon, who is very lenient when it comes to the laws of mukta. He said neither of these would be in the category of a din of mukta. Even chatzos would be mutter. Again, Tosus points out only letzorach gufo, letzorach makomo, because chatzos would also be a klisha malach to l'iser. Even Rabbi Shimon admits that a klisha malach to l'iser is aser mechama letzel, if it's just for its protection. But it's letzorach gufo, letzorach makomo. And the opinion that said both are aser, that's Rabbi Nechemya. Rabbi Nechemya holds even a klisha malach to l'heter can only be carried for its tzorech. And since its tzorech is only for a kid, and that's not applicable here, and therefore you wouldn't be allowed to carry it on Shabbos at all. Now the Gemara now just has a side question about this. The first thing we said in the name of Rabbi Nechemi is you can't be matata lois ha-shofar v'lois ha-chatzotros. Why did I have to say both? Umay shofar, says Gemara, once it tells me you're not allowed to carry a shofar, kavachom, you're not allowed to carry the chatzotros. Says Gemara, umay shofar nami chatzotros. In Rabbi Nechemi's statement, when he said shofar, he meant chatzotros, and chatzotros meant shofar. Really? Where do you come off saying that? Says Gemara, k'derav chista, dam rav chista, hani tlas milei, Ishtani Shmayu, the following three things, their names changed. Mikichar of Beis HaMikdash. Once the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, the names of these three things changed. Chatzots, Chatzotzarta, Shofra, Shofra, Chatzotzarta. People changed the name of the Chatzotzos to a Shofra and the Shofra to Chatzotzos. Lamai Nafkamina, L'Shofra, Shabash Hashanah. Yeah, there's a big Nafkamina that you're only allowed to blow after the Churban, you're only allowed to blow what people call the Chatzotzra, which is really a shofar. So after the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, what used to be called shofar now is called the Chatzotzra, so that's what you blow. Arava Tzavtzifa, Tzavtzifa Arava. After Beis HaMikdash, what used to be called Arava is now called the Tzavtzifa. What used to be called Tzavtzifa is now called Arava. L'mayin afkamina l'lulav. So you got to know what to put in your lulav. Psora, psorta, psorta, psora. A small table was a big table, and a big table is a small table. If somebody's selling you a psarta, you gotta know, is he selling you a big table or a small table? Rabbi Af Anu Nomar Huvlila Bekase, Bekase Huvlila. He had another one, that what used to be called before the Churban, Huvlila, which is one of the stomachs. Apparently animals have multiple stomachs, more than one stomach. So, one of Huvlila was one of the animal stomachs, that very, very thin layer of the stomach. Beikase had a very thick one. And Beikase came to be called Huvlila. L'may nafkamina l'machat shenim sezbovi beitzakosis. The difference here is that if there was a needle stuck into one side of that stomach, demitzad echad kshera. So in the beikosis, which is very thick, if it's stuck in on one side, it doesn't make the animal into a trefa. U'mishnei tzadim trefa. But if it goes through both sides, it's trefa. But by the other one, since the skin of the wall is so thin, even if it just goes through one side, that already makes it into a trefa. So you got to know which one is the thick one and which one's the thin one. So those things changed after the Churban. Amar Rav Ashi. Rav Ashi said, Af, Anu Nomar. I had another one. Bavel Bursif. Bursif Bavel. That the name of Bavel after the Churban changed to Bursif. And Borsif was known as Bavel. Who cares about that? L'may nafkamina, what's the difference of that? L'gite nashim. The nafkamina for that is what to write in the get. Now, Rashi has two explanations what this means, l'gite nashim. So first, the first explanation of Rashi is, take a look. L'gite nashim. The kaimalan b'nei Bavel b'kiyin she'tzarech lichtov get l'shma. The people of Bavel were Bikin Lishma. Remember the first Mishnah in Gittin, right? So the question is, Hamevi get Mibdina Sayam, Tsarach Lomar Bafane Nechta Bafane Nechtam. But if you come from a place within Eretz Yisrael, there were Bikin Lishma, so you didn't have to say Bafane Nechta Bafane Nechtam. So let's say you're carrying a get from Bavel. Do you have to say Bafane Nechta Bafane Nechtam? So Rashi says, the Kaimalan B'nei Bavel Bikin. Since they were Baki in Lishma, they didn't have to say the words because you assumed if it came from Bavel that they knew the din in Lishma. The guy didn't have to testify. that it was done l'shma. Uvnei sharatzos ein bikin v'tzarech. Va'achshav bnei borsif hi bavel u'bavel shalachshav hi borsif. V'heim ameh ha'aretz. K'damrina ba'alma bor shafil shenat lumeimav. Bor sha'afi shenat lumeimav. They called it borsif because it was like a boar that lost its water. So it was empty of learning. That's Rashi's first pshat. Then Rashi gives a second pshat. Vani Omer. So that pshat, I don't know who he was quoting from. He doesn't say. Vani Omer. Nafka mina legite nashim. No, that's not what the Gemara means. Le'inyan shina shmo u'shma shemiro v'shemira. Puzzle. V'tzarach litov shem shel akshav. You got to write in the get what city the get was written in, right? Like you have by Iksuba. Right, be'echad b'shabbat shnas chamesh alafim shamios v'shmonim leminyan she'anamonim kan Bronx, New York, or Throgs Neck, New York, wherever the get is, or Atlantic Beach, New York, if it's in the sands. We should be zocher to one day go to another wedding in the sands. So you have to write the city. So you have to know, are you in Bavel or are you in Borsif? So if the name of the city changed, you can't write Bavel after the Chorban because it changed to Borsif. So take a look at Tosis. Tosis doesn't like that shot. Tosis says, what do you mean? You don't have to write the country in a get. You only have to write the city. We haven't found anywhere in Shas a city that's called Bavel. Ela Medina hi. V'ein kosvin shem Medina beget. So Tosis learns you don't write the Medina. I think nowadays we do have the minhag. We write not only the city, Atlantic Beach, we write Medinas, New York. We don't write the country. We don't write USA. We don't write the country. So maybe we just write the state, but we don't write the Medina. The Medina means like the country. You don't have to write bubble. So how could Rashi say nafkamina legite nashim means to write Bavel, the country. Doesn't make any sense. Bavel's a country, not a city. You don't have to write a country in a get. You don't have to write it in a ksuba. Okay. Hadron alach ba'am malikim. That ends Perek ba'am malikim, and that also ends Art Scroll volume whatever, and it also ends Mesifta volume 2. We're moving on to Mesifta volume 3. I use the Mesifta. Sometimes I'll look at some other things, but okay. Let's take a look at the Mesifta. Okay, here we go. Now, the third parak is all about the laws of Bishul B'Shabbos. And we begin with the laws about how do you warm up food Erev Shabbos? How do you warm up the chalent on Erev Shabbos? Oh, here we go. This gets rather involved in today's daf. And by the way, daf tomorrow morning, 7:30 a.m. Everybody's welcome. 7:30 tomorrow morning. Oh. Let's begin the third parak. Oh, good, good. Jeremy's got his new, art scroll. Crack open the new art scroll. Everybody crack open the new one. Crack open the new Mesifta, the new art scroll, the new everything. Here we go. I got my new art scroll also. All right. Now, what do we have to know here before we start? So, midoraisa, it's permitted to place food on the fire Erev Shabbos and just leave it there on Shabbos. Midoraisa, there's nothing wrong with that. But midorabbanan, the rabbis were worried about two things. So you're not, there's something called shehiyah. Shehiyah means you can't leave it over the fire from Erev Shabbos to leave it on the fire because the rabbis were afraid you're going to come to adjust the fire if you leave it on. That's called shehiyah. There's another thing called hachzara. Hachzara means it was on the fire Friday night. Now you take it off, you put it in the fridge, or you just take it off, and then after it's off, you want to put it back on the fire. Or let's say, right, Rebbetzin Yudin used to say, she had made two chalents every week. One was the chalent for the ganavim, and one was the regular chalent. The chalent of the ganavim. So what do you mean the chalent? So she knew the guys would steal the chalent. So she made two chalents. One was for the ganavim. So let's say you wanted to steal the chalent off the fire, and then you want to put it back on the fire. That's called chazara. So you're only allowed to do that under certain conditions. It's We're going to learn about that. The problem there is not a problem of we're afraid you're going to adjust the flame because the food is already fully cooked. What we're worried about is that it looks like you're cooking. Nirakim Avashal. If you're going to put it back on the fire, it's Nirakim Avashal. So let's begin over here. This story. Now also, Midoraisa, by the way, once the food is fully cooked, there's nothing wrong with putting it back on the fire. It's fully cooked, and we have a rule, at least by a Dover Yavesh, Ein Bishel Achar Bishel. Once something's been cooked, so there's no, you don't have a second Ein Bishel Achar Bishel. By a Dover Lach, right, if you have a liquid like chicken soup, once it gets cold and you reheat it, so then we paskin Yesh, that would be a violation of a Doraisa. Yesh Bishel Achar Bishel Belach. So if you took chicken soup Shabbos morning out of the oven, you're not allowed to warm up chicken soup at all on Shabbos morning. A liquid, you can't take a liquid out of the fridge and warm that up on Shabbos, because we paskin Yesh Bichel Achar Bishel Belach. When it comes to a liquid, so then if you just heat it up again, that's called Yesh Bichel Achar Bishel. Presumably the reason is because a liquid, you know, once it's cold, it's like mamish not edible. So you're mamish changing its state totally. But if it's something dry, so there are certain ways you're allowed to heat up, let's say. All right, we're going to talk about in the Kamenetsky house, the way we heat up the food on Shabbos days with a non-adjustable hot plate. A non-adjustable hot plate, that's where Mordechai Willig holds. It's permitted. You can buy on Central Avenue, the electric store here. They have non-adjustable hot plates. There's mamish, and I want to stress, not an adjustable one that you just cover over the dial. That may not work in all circumstances. For some things it does work, but for other things it doesn't work. If you just want to take something out of a cold chicken out of the refrigerator Shabbos morning, so my Rebbe Reb Mordechai Willig holds that to use a non-adjustable hot plate would be okay. So let's get into it over here. Now, there's a fundamental dispute which plays very, very strong importance halacha lemaisa, which we're going to get into right on the first amud. A very important dispute between Hananiah and the Chacham. Let's see. Says the Mishnah. Kira. Now, there are three kinds of ovens. That doesn't have so much relevance for us nowadays. A Kira is a small oven that has room for two pots on it. There's a kupach, which has only room for one. And then there's a tanur, which is a larger oven, which gets even hotter. So, Kira. Shehisikua bekashu v'gvava. If the fuel in this Kira was straw or stubble, nostin alat tavshil, so you are allowed to place a food on it on Erev Shabbos. We're not worried you're going to adjust the flame, because straw and stubble does not create coals. It just warms up, but there's no coals. There's nothing to stoke. There's nothing to adjust. However, begefas of eitzim, however, if you put like olive peels or wood, which become coals, so then we're worried. So lo yitain. So you're not allowed to place on Erev Shabbos, you're not allowed to place food on Erev Shabbos ad sheyigrof oad sheyitinis afar, unless you either remove the coals or move them to the side or remove them, depending on different rishonim, or place dirt over the coals so that they will cool down and we're not worried. That'll be a simon. When you have the dirt over the coals, we're not worried you're going to come to adjust them. That's where this whole business of having a blech covering the knobs or covering over the knobs. So this comes from this, grufo k'tuma. Either you remove the coals, so there's nothing to adjust, or you put a simen, you have something over the simen. So then, if it's gefes of eitzim, you're allowed to put the food up Erev Shabbos. If the if you make the simen, like have a blech or something like that, that's a simen that's going to teach you not to adjust them. So that's the first statement of the Mishnah. Beishamai omrim, Beishamai say, chamin. Now, when do we, says Beishamai, when do I allow you to put up something on Erev Shabbos if it's Grufok Tuma by Zephis Uveitzim, by Gephis Uveitzim, excuse me, when it's Grufok Tuma, only hot water that's fully cooked. Avalo Tavshil. But not a fully cooked chalent. Why not? Because even if it's fully cooked, it could still get better, what's called mitstamek v'yafalo. We're going to learn about this. Even once it cooks more, it'll still be good for it. And even though you remove the coals, we're still afraid you're going to adjust them. Maybe it's because you push the coals to the side, or maybe it's because you're going to bring the coals back. Whatever it's going to be, we're still worried. Shami chate begecholim. Even after you did that, that's Beis Shammai holds. Beis Hillel says no. Beis Hillel omer chamin v'tavshil. Now, what are you talking about? Once you do grufok tuma, so no problem. You could do hot water. You could do chalent. It's no problem to put chalent on the fire Erev Shabbos as long as you have a blech or something over the fire. Once it's already been grufok tuma, so it's no longer a problem.
Which is it? Is it that it's still a better taste after it cooks longer, or is that you push the coals to the side? It seems to be two separate items.
Yeah, good. That's going to be one of the important issues here. And the third issue, that was Avi, right? And the third issue, Avi, to add to your chalent, no pun intended, is how cooked does the food have to be before Shabbos? All these things we're going to discuss in the Gemara at length. And not only that, Beis Shammai, last part of the Mishnah, so Avi, I'm going to push it off because the Gemara is going to talk about this at length, okay? Beis Shammai Omrim, Notlin Avalo Machzirin. Beis Shammai says that even the hot water that I said you're allowed to put on there, you can take it off the fire, but you can't put it back on the fire. Even the hot water. Even if it's still hot. Because it looks like you're cooking it. Well, Beis Hillel Omrim Af Machzirin. Beis Hillel says, this that I said, that you could return, that you could put liquid, or a tavshil, or food, onto the fire if it's Grufok Tuma, not only can you take it off the fire when you left it on Erev Shabbos, but you could even put it back on the fire on Shabbos if there's a blech on it, if it's Grufok Tuma. Because once you have the blech on it, it's not the normal way to cook, so we're not worried that people are going to think that you are cooking. Oh, let's see the Gemara. Hibayilahu, the B'nai HaYeshiva asked a two-sided halachic informational question. Hi, lo yitain. When the Mishnah in the beginning says lo yitain, lo yachzir hu? Does it mean you're not allowed to return it to the fire? Avolishos. Mash and avolisha eno garf eno katim. But to put it on there, Erev Shabbos, you're allowed to put it on there even if it did not have a blech on it. If it's not, you didn't put the dirt on the coals. Umani, and then who would the author of our Mishnah be? Chananyahi. The author of our Mishnah would be the Tana, whose name was Chananya. Desani went to Nebraisa. Chananya Omer Chananya holds. Kol Shehu Kemachal Ben Drusai. Any food that is cooked from before Shabbos, the amount of Kemachal Ben Drusai, a Machlokus Rishon, whether this is one third cooked or one half cooked. But the point is it's cooked a little bit, that these robbers, these bandits, these Ben Drusai, these bandits who are always on the run, they don't have time to wait. They don't have the patience to wait till it's fully cooked. It's just a third or half cooked. That's considered good enough. So Chananya says, even for non-bandits, any food that's cooked Kamachal Ben Drusai, let's say one third, Mutter Lishhosal Gabikira Afbisha Eno Garf Eno Katam. So then you're allowed to put it up Erev Shabbos once it's quote-unquote fully cooked, meaning even one-third cooked. Once it's one-third cooked, you're allowed to put it up even without a blech, even right on the fire, Erev Shabbos, Chananya says. We're not worried you're going to come to adjust it because once it's already cooked, So you don't care about it so much. It's already good. So we're not worried you're going to come through. That's Chananya. So Chananya would read the Mishnah. How did Chananya read the Mishnah? That the first case says that lo yachzir, when it said you're not allowed to do it, begefes of etim lo yitin, that means just you're not allowed to return it, unless it's garif hakatam. But to leave it on from Erev Shabbos, you're allowed to do it even if it's not garif hakatam, as long as it's mevushal kamachal ben drusai. So that's one way of reading the Mishnah. The Gemara is going to say it's a little difficult to read the Mishnah that way, because the second half of the Mishnah is talking about chazara. How can you tell me the first part of the Mishnah is all talking about chazara? So we'll see that in the Gemara in a minute. Odilma, or maybe lishos tanan. No. When the Mishnah says you're not allowed to leave the food over from Erev Shabbos, if it's not garif hakatam, that means to do shehia from Erev Shabbos. Vi garif hakatam in, and you're only allowed to do shehia if the blech is on. Vi lolo. The kolshkin lahachzir. That would be going according to Shitas Chachamim, who disagree with Chananya. Chachamim say that no, as long as the food is not fully cooked, you may not put it up Erev Shabbos unless you have a blech. So Chananya holds, and by the way, this machlokas Chananya Chachamim, it's a machlokas harishonim who to paskin like, and it's a machlokas in Shulchan Aruch even till today. This is a major, major, major issue that has halachic ramifications even nowadays about how do you warm up the chalent. Or you say it's like Chachamim who say that no, food must be fully cooked and it has to have a blech in order for it to work before Shabbos. Lishos, you need garif hakatam. That's the simple pshat of the Mishnah. The simple pshat of the Mishnah is that it says you're not allowed to put food up Erev Shabbos unless it's garif hakatam. That's what it seems to say. That's the simple pshat. Tashma, so the Gemara starts off with the simple pshat. The Mishnah gives you two different cases. Again, the first case didn't say anything about Chazara, and in the second case it only mentions Chazara. So how can you tell me the first case means Chazara? If you tell me that the Mishnah is going like Chachamim, who say that it's lishos, the first case of the Mishnah is talking about from Erev Shabbos, you're not allowed to put anything up unless it's garif hakatam. So hachi ketani. So the Mishnah makes great sense. Kirish is a kol b'kashiv v'gavah mashin le'tavshil, but begevas of etzim lo yishe, you're not allowed to do shehiyah, you're not allowed to put it up Erev Shabbos. You're not allowed to put any food up on if it's zefes gefas ve'etzim lo yishe achi yigrof or achi yitain efer. You're not allowed to put if there's no blech, or you didn't put dirt over the coals, or get rid of the coals. Umahein mash. And what are you allowed to do shehiyah? To beishamay omim chamin al tavshil. Beishamay says hot water, but not chalent. Beisil omim chamin v'tavshil. Beisil says even chalent you're allowed to do as long as it's garif hakatam. V'chihechi de pligi belishos. And just like beishamay, Beisil have an argument about shehiyah. They also have a machlokas by whether or not you're allowed to return. The same machlokas by Shehiya. The same machlokas by Chazar. Shebisham yom noltan avalo machzirin. Beisolam af machzirin. Eliyamris lahachzir tanan. But if you tell me even the first case that the Mishnah was already talking about to return it to the fire, well then what's the second case is also talking about returning to the fire. Eliyamris lahachzir tanan. But that Shehiya would be mutter like Chananya, that Shehiya would be mutter even without Grufuk Tuma. Hachi Katani. Kirish Yisiko Bakasha Vigvama Machzirin Alea Tavshil. The first case was already to Machazara. Begev Zavaz Lo Yachzir Ajitin Offer, like Chachamim against Chananya. Umay Machzir Mesham Rom Chamal Tavshil Bizom Racham Tavshil. And then the second case says the same thing over again. Beshamai Omrim Notan Lamam Zimishal Machzirin Hosu Lamali. What do I need the second case? You're telling me the exact same thing in the second case as the first case. So it's got to be the beginning's talking about Shehiyah and the second case about Chazara. So we'll just do the answer and then we'll stop. Says the Gemara, La'olamei malach lahachzir tanan. No, maybe the beginning of the Mishnah really is talking about lahachzir, but there are words missing in the Mishnah. The old chisure mechsura v'hachi ketani case. What every high school kid, like, when they hear that, they say, you know, just slam down the Gemara. No, this can't be right. This can't be, because they don't understand. It was transmitted orally, so there was a lot. No, the Gemara says, and by the way, even halacha lemaisa, we're still worried about Hanani's meat nowadays. The Rambam Paskin's like Hanani. Maybe I got that wrong. The Rambam and the Rif Paskin one way, and all the other Rishonim Paskin the other way. So Machlokas and Shulchan Aruch. We'll see next time. The Gemara is going to go into. We'll see tomorrow morning. La'olam ei malach lahachzita. No, I can explain the Mishnah's talking about lahachzir v'chisui mixer of achitani, but there are words missing in the Mishnah. Kira shisikor b'kashiv v'gvamer machzion ala tavshim. B'gefes uve'etzim. If you use stuff that does have coals, lo yachzir achi yirgof achi dinas esha efer. Avolishos. Mashin avu misha'eno garf ve'eno katim. But to do shehiya, Hananya says, you're allowed to do it even if it is not garf or katim. Umahin mashin, what are they allowed to do shehiya to? In other words, what they just did here is that they put in both shehiya and chazar in case number one. What are you allowed to be mashin? B'sham v'chamav tashil, b'silom v'chamav v'tavshil. V'ha chazar da'ar milach, and the chazar that I said, you're not allowed to do until it's grufu k'tuma. Stop. So at the end of the day, gentlemen, both opinions of Hananya and Chachamim are legit. The Gemara basically is both men. And by the way, even when we're finished with the Gemara is not going to come to any conclusion who's right. So listen to this tremendous nafkamina here. Tremendous nafkamina. Gentlemen, according to Hananya, even if a person puts food that was mevushel kamachel ben drusai, it was 1/3 cooked before Shabbos, you can put chalent, according to Hananya, you could put chalent up in a crock pot without covering anything. No blech in the crock pot, no covering the dials of the crock pot. According to Hananya, you could put, as long as you cook it that it's 1/3 cooked before Shabbos, and here's the other end. As long as you're just planning on taking the chalent off once and you're not planning on putting it back on at all, according to Hananya, and this opinion is quoted in Shulchan Aruch, it is perfectly permissible to cook. If you put up the chalent Friday morning, you don't need a blech in your crock pot. You can leave it up on the oven. You don't need a blech at all. You can leave chalent, according to Hananya, cooking, even if it's not grufok tuma. Once it's, certainly if it's fully cooked, according to Hananya, even if it's 1/3 cooked, certainly, if it's fully cooked before Shabbos and it's on a low flame, you're allowed to leave it on even without any blech whatsoever. And this is true, even halacha lemaisa. That's what it says in Shulchan Aruch, that you're allowed to do that. But the problem is that not everybody always has the chalent fully cooked. So let's say the chalent is not fully cooked before Shabbos. So then it's more problems. Or even if it's not 1/3 cooked. If it's not 1/3 cooked, or... if you're planning on, like in my house, the Ganovim take some of the chalent off Friday night, they want to have the late Friday night chalent, and then they want to put the chalent back on, so then it's a problem. So then you got to have a blech in the crock pot. So you take a piece of aluminum foil, and you put it in the crock pot, and you make sure the aluminum foil goes over the sides of the crock pot. Then you take another piece of aluminum foil, and you cover the dial. You cover the dial of the crock pot. This is what you do in the Kamenetsky house every single week. Then you could do one of two things. So we always used to do, you're allowed to take off the crock pot as long as you're still holding on to it. You don't have, it doesn't have to be in the midair. You could put it down and you're still holding on to it with one hand. You scoop out the chalent, and then you could take the chalent pot and put it right back on the crock pot. We're going to learn all that law because that's be odin biyado, die to lahakser. We're going to learn about it. Now, Rav Mordechai Willig holds that you could also, you don't even have to take it off the fire. You don't even take it off the fire. As long as you don't mix it. That's the point. You can't mix it while it's on the fire. So if you quickly take the cover off and just scoop out chalent while it's on the fire, Rav Mordechai Willig holds, as long as you do it quickly and the chalent is not uncovered for a long period of time, so then when you're covering it over, you're not really doing anything significant. It was just as hot before as it is after, materially. And you don't mix it. You just take that spoon and you just take it in and take it out. Rav Mordechai Willig holds, even if it's on the fire, You are allowed to take the chalendorf while it's on the fire because mixing is not a problem. You're not allowed to mix it. You're not allowed to mix the chalendorf when it's on the fire. That's Mimahir Bishul. You're not allowed to do that. But you are allowed to even just take from it. And again, we're going to be learning a lot of these halachas. Okay, gentlemen, that is the end of the story for now. Tomorrow morning, 7:30 in the morning, we will, Bez Hashem, see you for those who would like to join tomorrow morning at 7:30. Have a wonderful evening, a good mayit. Be safe and healthy.
Thank you, Rabbi. Good morning.
Thank you.